This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's September 22nd, episode 1003, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. We had a fun weekend this weekend, Jamie. We went over to the Epcot and Disney, and it's food and wine time, which means they set up about, I think it's like 30 kiosks of food from different countries, and you go around and you buy these little appetizer size portions. Mm-hmm. And you try stuff that you wouldn't normally try, and then each one of them has alcohol, too. So I saw a lot of people starting to stumble a little bit by about 4 o'clock. But it was fun. We love it. It's one of our favorite times to go to Epcot is for food and wine. It's just so much fun. You have to forget about the money. You just have to say, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, $80 today on food, and I'm just not going to worry about it. Otherwise, you drive yourself crazy. But, yeah, we had some good stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Was there anything that you ate that stood out as absolutely horrible?
That's good. So which one did we have, Jennifer, that was absolutely horrible? She didn't like, there were a couple of desserts, actually, that Jennifer didn't like.
I got some baklava that was very disappointing.
Yeah, she's a baklava connoisseur, and she didn't like
straight
it that
the,
too much.
It tasted like it was straight from the freezer section at the grocery store.
Do you like carrot cake?
Bummer. Yes, anything, and pretty much anything that has the word cake in it is good.
They had carrot cake at the United States Pavilion, and instead of the cream cheese icing, you know, like it usually has, they made a liquid cream cheese icing that they poured over top the carrot cake.
Oh, my God.
You know what it reminded me of is a liquid version. When you buy those frozen tubes and you make the cinnamon buns and it has that white goop you put on top, it reminded me of a liquid version of that white goop all over this carrot cake. It was to die for. It was really good.
You know, it's 6:03 in the morning for me, and you are making me absolutely starving.
They have one of my favorite things there, period, is the cheese soup at Canada. Canada has cheese soup, and I could just eat a vat of that. I just eat that and nothing else.
Wait a second. The word cheese in anything is good, too.
You know what I did notice? I thought about you yesterday because I did notice that this year on the menus, that you get this little passport book, and it says everything that's at the different places, and you could write it down. You get little stamps. It's very Disney. And you can write down what your opinions were, the things you tried. But one of the things in the passport book this year was they marked vegetarian stuff and gluten-free stuff this time, and they intentionally said that they put a lot more vegetarian things in, and I think there was a lot more vegetarian stuff than I've ever seen before.
Well, if you would have sent me an invitation, maybe I could have come. I mean, just whatever.
I saw pictures look like you were at your own party. So.
You know, I did. I was. And you know what I did Friday night for the first time in, I don't know, almost 16 months? Is I slept in a place without my child. We had a girls' weekend, a bunch of us that have young kids, and we went to a home in Scottsdale and spent the night, Friday night, drinking wine, went out to dinner, had a great time, and we left our husband's home with the baby. How about that?
Ooh, how'd that go?
Well, poor Chad, my husband, because unfortunately Lucas came down with a severe case and still has it of diarrhea. And so I think he must have changed probably about 50 diapers. Like, yesterday I had to run to the store because our Costco box, we ran out. Like, changing, and the problem is they get really bad diaper rash. It's like screaming and crying, and pretty much every time we change his diaper, I have to put him in the tub. I mean, it's really bad. And that's what I left. I was like, see you later. Gotta go. So he was a sport, and it was really fun. And then we had a neighborhood party on Saturday. So I rode horses. I rode Edward all weekend, but I did not have any super fun, exciting Disney stories at all. So you could have invited me. I'm just saying.
Well, we did. I did post a picture from there. You know how we have Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, as one of our advertisers? Well, in the England Pavilion, I found Uncle Joe's mint balls. And the tagline is, keep you all aglow. So I really didn't read what they were, but I took a picture
you
and
didn't,
posted. I'm gonna...
You didn't buy any?
I didn't buy any of those mint balls, but I am going to send that over to Uncle Jimmy just because I think somebody's moving in on his territory.
Well, Uncle Joe's mint balls would be great horse treats.
That's true. That's probably true. I should have bought a can. I never even thought about it. You're right. I screwed up.
That's okay. I'm sure we can probably get it off Yahoo or Google it or something. Who knows?
Amazon, I'm sure, has it. Yeah. Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the inaugural Central Park Horse Show is in the books. So dedicated listener Ellen is going to stop by this morning with a final word on what looks like to be a brand new tradition for the Big Apple. And then being Monday and all the wacky world of horses, Horse Nation provides an equine chuckles warm-up class. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
Glenn, what's Uncle Jimmy's website?
Uncle-Jimmy's.com.
Yeah.
This guy is stealing from Uncle Jimmy. It's Uncle-Joe's.com. Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
He's trying to be Uncle Jimmy.
I'm going to send it to Jimmy. I think there's a lawsuit in the making here.
Yes, there is. Uncle-Joe's.com.
And can I say that the Uncle Joe's picture is on the can? And Uncle Jimmy's much better looking than Uncle Joe. So I think he should sue.
I think you should
copyright infringement.
This is so crazy. They have like bulk, and they have the favorites, and they have gifts and international orders. Uncle Jimmy, he's encroaching on your territory. Sorry, carry on.
All right, time for a Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny goes out to Templeton Thompson and everybody involved in this. Sunday, September the 28th, in Frankie Lovato's backyard, Templeton Thompson is making her way up to Ohio, and they're doing a fundraiser in memory of Sandy Lovato. Admission is free. You're welcome to bring a personal cooler with drinks and snacks. They're offering a barbecue dinner package. That's how they'll raise some money, and they're taking donations and things, too. And all the proceeds will go to the Stampede of Dreams Therapeutic Riding Program's Winter Horse Care Fund. And what's really cool about this is the event's also going to be broadcast live via podcast on Jockey World Radio. So you'll be able to listen to it. We'll make sure we post links to it on Sunday as well. It's happening, I think, at 4 o'clock is what I remember. I'll have to check the schedule again. Templeton's going to be there doing a concert, and they're encouraging anybody in the area. Uta, I know you're in that area, so you can go over and hang out. Everybody's invited. Oh, here it is. It will be starting at 5 p.m. sharp. So they said come from 4:30 on and bring your own chairs and blankets, and they're going to put this out on the radio as well, and we will promote it and post it for Frankie's benefit coming up this weekend. So that's what's happening there, and thank you, Tempe, for making your way up there to help with a good cause. That's terrific. All the way from Tennessee to Ohio.
All right, I'm going to have to do it. You have the audio for it. So we need to give a daily whinny to the horse named Byern. Byern, who crossed the finish line 5 3/4 lengths ahead of Tabature, Candy Boy, and California Chrome. Not the best weekend for him. So go ahead and let's hear the race.
Good start for California Chrome. He came bouncing right out of there, but Byern, of course, has the best speed, and CJ's Awesome going to go right with him on the outside. So it is Byern in front, but CJ's Awesome will back off now, and Victor Espinosa will move up close at the inside now with California Chrome. Protonigo will be fourth into the first turn. Tapiture is fifth on the outside. He's about five back now as they hit that opening turn. Noble Moon is tucked away at the inside running sixth. Then it's Classic Jock and Roland. Candy Boy takes back last. Candy Boy is eighth. He's running almost eight lengths behind. Byern, a very leisurely first quarter, 24 flat. The track's been fast all day. That is a very slow pace. Byern to the back stretch in front, three parts of a length. Shadowed outside by CJ's Awesome second. California Chrome just in behind the top two. He's third on the inside. He's about two back with 5/8 to go. Protonigo is in the clear on the outside after a half of 47-4. Tapiture has edged his way up within 3.5 lengths of the lead as they run to the half mile pole. Then it's Noble Moon, Classic Jock and Roll, and nothing yet from Candy Boy. 3.5 furlongs to go in the Pennsylvania Derby, and Byern lets it out a notch. It's Byern a length and a half. CJ's Awesome trying to stay with him now. Victor Espinosa says go with California Chrome. He's trying to get out from in behind the leader. They come to the top of the stretch. Tapiture into contention as he unwinds with a run on the outside. Byern still holding on to the lead as they hit the top of the stretch. Still nowhere to go right now for California Chrome. On the outside, Tapiture trying to get involved, but it's Byern coming to the eighth pole. Byern has opened up three. California Chrome on the inside is giving his best, but he's dropping back. On the outside, Tapiture is taking second. It's Byern pulling away. They're coming down to the finish, and it will be Byern impressive on the front end today. Byern's got it by five. Well, after that opening quarter of 24 flat and a half of 47-4, they weren't going to catch Byern today. He finished out in 146-4, and that is a new track record for Byern.
A track flipping record for Byern. So not only was it a super fast race, it was like the fastest race. I mean, that was fantastic performance by Byern. And, you know, California Chrome likes to run on the outside and be in the front. And he just got pinned in. And what a lot of people were saying, especially Bob Baffert, too, even said by telephone that he was the California Chrome was the target. That their horse, Byern, wasn't the target. So everybody was basically, you're running the race to win, but you're also running the race to try to keep him from winning, you know, to give him a lot of space. So
I don't know. Did you watch it on the video, though? I mean, Byern won going away. I mean, it wasn't even. I mean, he was still, you know, losing them, and he was about 10 lengths by the time it was done. He was just gone. There was nobody catching up.
I told you guys last week, I just thought it was a little too much race for him for his first race. Now, granted, they made a lot of money showing up, and what the jockey was saying, Victor, saying that they're setting themselves up for the Breeders' Cup, and that's what they did, and Espinosa was like, that's what we did, and we're just, yeah, didn't override him. Like, basically, he didn't beat him to keep him going. He just kind of let him run his race, and I get that, but it just was a heck of a lot of race, this super super huge grade one was just, it was pretty long too, 1 1/8 miles. So it just seemed like too much to me. But
and what was interesting, Byern in the last time out didn't do too well. So, I mean, it was really kind of a surprise to everybody that he came in and ran the race he did. So, yeah, it was a good race. Well, I will see what happens with California Chrome. I have my doubts. I'm a doubter now. I'm doubting. And I picked him for Kentucky Derby, but I'm doubting now.
Well, he was the fastest of all of them. But again, he's been laid off for a long time. He had an injury. Like, it's going to take a while for him to get his feet back. And I just think they started too big.
Yep. All right, Jennifer, did you see, I know you read about this, and I was confused after I read about it, that there's a new lottery game that they're pitching to a couple different states, including Kentucky. And
yep.
it's a lottery game that's going to involve horse racing. Now, I read about four articles on this, and I was still confused as to exactly how it's going to work. Apparently, you go in and you buy a lottery ticket, and you say, I want to buy a lottery ticket for Thursday. And they're going. What they have done is they picked a race that's going to run in that state, as I understand it, on Thursday, like the fifth race, you know, at one of the tracks in your state. And your lottery ticket, you cannot pick which horses you want to come in what order on your lottery ticket. It's just random. So they random give you the three numbers or whatever, the horses. And then when there's a winner, you apparently get a payout that is in conjunction with what the payout was for the horses that came in. How they could make it any more confusing, I'm not sure. And lottery usually try and make things as easy as possible because people just don't do it if it's not. Did you get anything more out of it than I just said?
Well, I mean, I was basically, say there's 10 horses in a race. Those 10 horses can finish in any order. Okay, so it could be the 2, 1, 6, 9, you know, whatever. And so that's the numbers that you pick. And I just did the math, and I'm not very good at math, but I use my calculator. And say you have 10 horses in the race, and you've got 1 through 10. That's 1 in 31,298,400 chance of winning, of getting the exact numbers in the exact order. So what I kind of figured was, like, say you have 10 horses, you're going to get, your lottery ticket is going to be 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if the horses finish in that order, you win.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So you bet the race. In other words, you buy a lottery ticket for race 5, and you either select by yourself or use the randomizer that they provide, and you pick the order of go
random.
1 through 10, order finish.
Yeah, you can't pick. It picks it for you.
Number four horse is the favorite.
Yeah, you don't get to pick. So that's kind of what they're doing. And I think it's really cool. The only thing I thought of is, like, what if there's a scratch?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And it says here it's a $2 bet and would revolve around a particular existing racetrack bet, like a superfecta, with the winning numbers of the track the same as the winning lottery numbers. Of the $2 lottery play, $1 would go to the lottery corporation, and the other $1 is apparently going to go into the track's parimutuel pool. So it would count towards all the winners and the amount that gets paid out and everything?
Yeah.
I guess that's how it's supposed to enhance betting. I don't know if this is going to go. I know they talked to Kentucky, the legislature in Kentucky about it. I know they were going to California. And the people who are running this are really trying to push it. But I've seen a dozen articles about it now.
I thought it was pretty cool. I think that's kind of a cool idea. Know what, Glenn? It's probably going to be the only way you and I pick a bunch of winners. let it generate.
True. That is true. Well, before we get off of racing news, Will Take Charge is retiring.
I know, Will Take Charge is retiring, and also, I don't have that story in front of me, so you can do that one, but I saw that Princess of Stillmar, the horse who won the Oaks in 2013, she actually won, I didn't realize, the Kentucky Oaks, the American Oaks, the Alabama Stakes, and the Belledonne Stakes, and they're all grade one filly races. So she's the only filly in history to sweep all of those races. She is being sold. She's been retired because she had some sort of breathing issue. She's being sold at Fazig Tipton in November.
For a broodmare.
For a broodmare, yeah. And can, like, who's the one person you think would buy a fancy, well-raced broodmare? Mandy Pope, right? It's got to be Mandy Pope. You know, the one who buys all.
Yep.
I just don't want her to go to Japan. I want her to stay here. Like, she's so awesome.
Or Australia.
Or Australia, yeah. Don't go to Japan. Stay home. But Will Take Charge retired, and bless his heart, he's it's time.
That was, they said, the horse was retired due to a mild strain to a branch of his suspensory apparatus. Which, have you ever heard it called a suspensory apparatus before?
Yeah, but only because I was a vet tech. So the kind of where the suspensory goes down the back of the leg and then it splits and wraps around the fetlock, that is called the branch of the apparatus. Like, that's where it branches off. So what I got from this story was, you know, that is a mild strain on the suspensory is like maybe six months to get back to running shape, you know, so it's not really that long of a layup for something like that. So I just thought they're just ready to retire them. They're ready to put them in the breeding shed. So it sounded like a pretty light injury for a horse to retire, but maybe it's just
time. You're right. They're ready for that breeding shed, and he's going to be going to a nice one because he's heading off to Three Chimneys in Midway, Kentucky. So,
it's the prettiest one ever.
Yeah, that is the prettiest one ever. You know, when everybody would come to visit us in Kentucky and Lexington, and we would take them out on the drive, you know, you would always go by Three Chimneys. But you'd take them to all the others first. You drive around all the others first, and then you end at Three Chimneys because where else are you going to go, right?
I remember going to Gainsboro, and I was owned by a sheik, and I got to tour it, and they had stained glass windows of the stallions, like, above their breeding sheds. So that one was, like, ostentatious, but, like, Three Chimneys was where Seattle Slough stood. I mean, just all the famous racehorses in the world, and just awesome, awesome, awesome place, awesome people. So congratulations. That's not a bad place to go be a stud.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. You can eat off their floors in that barn.
Yeah, well, you're right.
I just have to give a shout out to Dakota Johnson. Do you know who Dakota Johnson is?
I don't.
She's the daughter of Don Johnson and Melody Griffith. By the way, have you seen Melanie Griffith lately?
She's a
way too much work. Oh, way too much work. Anyway, she's the daughter
Don
of Melanie.
Had too much too.
Yeah. Well, she's also the one that she's about to become a household name because she's going to be the girl in 50 Shades of Grey in the movie.
Oh.
So she's got that coming up. But she did a good thing. She was over in Italy. Apparently she spent some time in Italy, and she heard about these horses that were going to go to be slaughtered. There were 10 horses. And there was a rescue over there that could take him in. So she donated $8,000 to the Pantelleri Equestrian Center to save the 10 horses from being slaughtered. And apparently she rides. So she did that good deed. So kudos to her for doing that. I don't know if they're filming 50 Shades of Grey over there, or she was just – I don't know why she was over there, but but she was, and good for her.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, you know what? Hopefully she's going to have a bunch of life lessons, and one is don't get plastic surgery.
She's going to have some life lessons doing that movie.
I did like the picture. There's a picture of her riding on the horse that she's one of the horses. I don't know if it's one of the ones she saved or just a stock photo, but she is neck reining a horse with an English saddle and English bridle.
Yes, I noticed so, that. I noticed that.
Horse people are so awful. We're so judgy. I'm like, first of all, she's not wearing a helmet, and she's an English tech, and she's neck reining a thoroughbred. Like, stop. But then we got good for her. And apparently, we're going to see a lot of her in that movie. Like, you know,
a lot of her. A lot of her.
Why not start big? Why not, you know? Gosh, I can't even imagine.
Hey, the most important thing, though, we were over when we were at Epcot yesterday. There's a band that plays in England that plays all old English hits and, you know, Beatles stuff and Monkey stuff. And I know you were a big Davy Jones fan. We talked about that when he died. Well, his home is coming up for sale in a remote Pennsylvania country house and horse farm. Out of Beavertown. Yes, there is a Beavertown. It's a 6-bedroom, 3,300 square foot house, and it has it's a community of 945 people. And it's 53 miles north of Harrisburg. So there you go. got coming up.
I don't know where that is, but I want to live in Davy Jones' house because I'm such a huge Monkees fan, you know, because I watched it on a rerun on Nick at Night. But hey, hey, with the Monk, I know every one of their songs. I celebrate their entire collection, Glenn.
Well, I will warn you, though, if you buy this house, it says here, while the exterior of the 1920 house has some deferred maintenance issues. By the way, whenever you see a realtor talk about deferred maintenance, run. Apparently, the interior is in solid shape. just got those deferred maintenance issues on the outside.
That's the problem is you go in these houses and they look so fantastic on the inside and you look on the outside, you're like, this is going to crumble around all that beautiful stuff on the inside. Oh, goodness, yeah.
So he was 5'3" and rode as a jockey in his teen years.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Talking about
I didn't
that.
Know that.
Yes.
Yeah,
he was a jockey.
Okay.
So super short. I told you my Davy Jones experience, didn't I?
That's right. Yes. Tell it again. It's been a while.
Okay, well, I went to go see them in concert. This is like 5 years ago or 6 years
Wait a
ago.
Minute.
The Monkees.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Do I need the music?
What music?
No.
It's not about me.
Oh,
it's not about me. No, I hate to talk about somebody after they've passed away, but, you know, I loved Davy Jones. Oh, I loved him on that TV show. He was a monkey. He was a good looking one. He was a cute one. And, you know, his song, Daydream Believer, and I loved that song. And so I go to see them. There was like 10 people at the concert. Okay, seriously? There was like 10 of us. And so obviously we had really good place to stand. It was like the seating was in the back and there's like a little area where you can kind of stand and watch them. There was like 10 of us. So there's plenty of room to get right on up to the front. And he starts singing Daydream Believer. And he's doing his, like, starts doing his little side dance, you know, where he puts his head to the left and to the right. And he's singing his Daydream Believer, and he's doing the little dance with his hips. And he looks at me, and he points at me, and he shakes his hips. And I was totally creeped out. He's, like, 70. And I was like, okay, this is not as cute as it was when he was, like, 20. Oh, it was awful. It was so bad.
Well, you can afford Davy Jones' house. It's only $389,000, apparently. I'm just doing some additional reading here. And apparently he also bought an old church in Beavertown and intended to convert it into a pop culture museum and performance space. And that's priced at $60,000. So you can buy both. He had 15 horses when he died on the farm there. I don't know what happened to them. They were rescue horses. I think they were all thoroughbreds, actually.
Yes, he was huge into horse rescue, and I believe his daughter is into the horses, too, so she probably took all those on. But
well, I will tell you this, that if you want to go see the property, you have to be pre-qualified, because they're not going to let you in unless you are. So
pre-qualified for a $389,000 home, that seems kind of like, usually you have to pre-qualify for homes in the millions.
Yeah,
so
well,
they
don't want any strangers in the house.
Any super fans taking photos?
Yeah, people stealing ashtrays out of the house.
I'll tell you what, you know one person who would not pre-qualify for a 380, this girl. This girl. Might have had some credit problems in the past.
Well, there's one more here that is for sale, and this one you will not pre-qualify for. It was Yvonne Lendl's old house. The tennis player, and it was in Palm Beach in Florida, and he apparently back in 1995, Yvonne sold it to Mr. Coldren, and Mr. Coldren bought it. Well, Mr. Coldren, you might know for a couple of his horses. What's that?
Condren.
Oh, Condren, that's right. It's Condren. You might know him for a couple of his horses, Strike the Gold and Gopher Gin, were Kentucky Derby winners.
Yeah.
So he bought this house back in 1995 from Yvonne Lendl for $5 million, and it's now up for sale a few short years later for $21.5 million.
Woo! Wow.
It's 9,200 square feet, 4 bedrooms, 5 baths. It's 120 feet of frontage on the Intercoastal Waterway in Palm Beach. So you know you're in a nice neighborhood there. It also has an apartment over the garage, in case you're interested, with two bedrooms, a living room, and two full baths in the apartment over the garage. It's located in the estate section of Palm Beach. The home has a pool and a dock and all that other stuff. And, you know, this guy had racehorses for a long time. So apparently I think he died, and then the wife didn't want to keep it anymore. She apparently wasn't spending any time there. She was spending all her time in her other properties. So they decided to sell it. Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to be using your $21 million estate, that's pretty good real estate turnover.
Yeah, yeah. So you figure that, you know, there's negotiations and stuff. She might get $15 million out of it. Still not bad, $10 million in 25 years. Not too bad.
I would
make
love
that
to
investment.
Buy something where they took $6 million off the price. I think she's going to get more.
You do? Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I don't know. Why do I know? I'm just guessing.
Well, let's do this. Nothing. Let's take a break for a commercial here, and then we'll get to our first guest. But first, we have to hear from Omega Alpha Equine, our title sponsor for today.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, thank you to Omega Alpha Equine for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. They've been with us since this show started 4 years ago, and we really do appreciate it. Well, coming up next, we have one of our listeners who is our, I don't know, she might be our only listener in New York City. We're not sure, but she's certainly the one that we know, and her name is Ellen Ferranti, and she is here to give us a report because she spent the weekend at the Central Park Horse Show. We talked to Emily on Friday about the one class that was held Thursday night, but there was a whole bunch of stuff that was held after that. And we have Ellen here to talk to us about it. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Are you all horsed out after this weekend?
No. It was so fabulous. I'm a native New Yorker, and for Donald Trump and Rolex to bring this to New York City is just fabulous. It was so
now,
well done.
Do you live right in the city?
I do. I'm calling right now from Midtown East by the United Nations,
over on
the East River. Right, and I also work here in the city. And I was born and raised here in New York. And when I was a kid, we just had pony rides in Van Cortlandt Park. And we have the horse carriages in Central Park, of course, and we hope they stay. But to convert the skating rink into a world-class arena was just phenomenal. I am fairly new to horses. Just about 4 years. My horse lives upstate, and I'm new to your show, maybe about a year, and I love the show. And I'm a big monkeys fan, too, Jen.
We'll sing some
songs
together.
For you.
No. I don't need a house in Pennsylvania, but the monkeys were here about 2 years ago, just before Davy Jones died. And I went, and it was just fun, et cetera. I didn't know he was a horse person.
Did you also look at him and go, oh, he's 70 years old and he's still shaking his hips like that? Did you also have that reaction?
I wasn't that close to have that reaction, but I was unaware he was that old. I was surprised because we remember them when we were kids.
That's right.
And it was
just
it was just so fun. And it's also fun to talk about other...
Go ahead, sorry.
My fault. Go ahead, Jamie.
I don't know if he was 70, but, you know, I'm just guessing. And it was in my 20s, and he was too old to be looking at me and shaking his hips like that. That's all I'm saying. But he's adorable. I'm too young for him.
So true.
But, well,
again,
Ellen,
going...
there was a going back to the horse show here, there was a whole bunch of different stuff that went on over the weekend. We had dressage.
Yes.
You got to see some of the top dressage people in the world. How was that?
I certainly did. And the best performance on Saturday night was Stephen Peters on Revelle. And I'm new to dressage. I've seen it a couple of times, live streaming, Rolex, three-day event, et cetera. But to see it in person, and I had fabulous seats, and it was dancing. It was magical. And, again, I'm used to being in an arena with mountains in the backdrop to see the skyscrapers and the lights. Also, what was different about the dressage show here was that because we're New Yorkers and we're really not exposed to it, the judge would go through the movements and tell us what we were looking for and really take the time out to teach us, which I think is unique at dressage shows. I don't think they do that much.
No, they definitely. It's all quiet usually. So, yeah, to have that, I think that was a great idea that they did there. And you talk about Stephen Peters. Revelle's actually in retirement. He brought Revelle out of retirement.
Absolutely.
To do this special freestyle. You got lucky, too. You got to see freestyle, which is the coolest thing to watch when it comes to dressage.
So much so with the freestyle that some of the younger gals were using contemporary music, like American Authors and Imagine Dragons. And again, excuse me, that caters to the younger people, too. And, of course, it was a sold-out crowd. And the crowds were all different ages, all different backgrounds to watch this. And the arena itself, I don't know if you know Walman's skating rink, Donald Trump's rink in Central Park, but it is a huge ring. Well, I guess other rings are larger, but it's a fairly big ring. And the way they converted it and then converted it to a dressage arena was also phenomenal, and putting the judges in particular places. We had a little issues with the jumping with regard to the lighting, because the lighting was a little off, and a couple of times the horses got spooked, or we didn't have a clean ride until kind of late in the evening because they had a difficult time seeing the top rail in some of the jumps. But by Saturday night for the dressage show, it was much better. The music was rolling in a very nice fashion, et cetera.
Well, I think they did a good job, too. They brought in a lot of different things. They played polo in that ring. Did you get to see any of the hot polo players?
I saw a little bit of polo on Saturday. They also brought in Guy McLean from Australia with his natural horsemanship. I had never seen anybody ride a horse without a bridle or a saddle, maybe Stacey Westfall on the internet in the past, but this was live, and the horses were just responding to him in such a natural manner. All he had to do was, like, just barely touch them with his whip, and they were in unison going around, and it was just, again, for people who've never seen this, it was just great. I was sitting next to a young woman with her child, and the child was just watching in awe. Sunday polo, I heard, was really great also. I didn't get to see it, but I was surprised that they had enough space to do it, but they certainly did. And a lot of the presentation is online, too, at Chrono of the Horse or at some of the other websites if people want to see it.
Well, I know they did. They always do. They always bring out the kids, too. I love when they bring out the Pony Clubbers. They played some games with the Pony Clubbers, and then they had the Shetland steeplechase racing, which is always fun to watch the little guys going around on Shetland ponies.
They also had vaulting on Saturday night. They had a vaulting team come out, and they were vaulting and doing acrobatics on the horses while the horse was on a lunge line. And it was to the music of The Wizard of Oz, and they were all in costume. One was a lion. One was the Tin Man and Dorothy. And, again, that was phenomenal. They were three-tiered on the back of a horse going around in a circle. And I had never seen something like that before, and that was a crowd-pleaser.
So was the stadium pretty full all weekend? I heard that they had given some tickets away for charities and things like that to try and get some people in, you know, that
absolutely
wouldn't normally get to see it. Yeah.
That was absolutely correct, and I think that was very nice of them. Thursday night, they were sold out. That was the Grand Prix, and we all bought tickets. After that, Gallup NYC, and EquestrianSport.com gave tickets to local charities. For instance, New York City Riding Academy got tickets. Some of the other facilities got tickets to get the kids to come in. And as a matter of fact, I was sitting next to two girls who were from Fordham University, and they were just so excited to be there. And I, everything started. The arena was full. I saw very few seats open, and I just thought it was nice to share the tickets. Even though the original tickets had been expensive, many of us knew that the money was going to charity, and many of the winners donated money to charity, too.
Wow. How neat was that, just to have the horses right there in basically your backyard, and to be celebrating horses, like like this whole show of horse celebration with all these New Yorkers, and many of which probably hadn't seen anything like this before or hadn't even seen horses aside from the Central Park one.
Jamie, I am born and raised in New York, and I have never seen anything like this. And it was just so exciting, and I'm just grateful to the powers that were in charge to put this in Central Park and to show other people. You can have just a simple horse in your backyard and enjoy your horse, obviously not in Manhattan, but out of Manhattan. Or you can be high-end and go to Hitzler and Saugerties all the time, or go down to Wellington, Florida, et cetera. The point behind this was to show people that this is a sport that we need to respect. It is a sport that we can enjoy and to move forward. And it, again, to do this in my own backyard, it was just so great for me. And it's such an outlet for people, too. And part of the reason why they gave the tickets away, too, is they represent a lot of therapeutic riding, which is another area that people don't know about. And again, since I'm a doctor here in New York City, it's really important to have an outlet for some of the kids with autism and things like that. And horses mm-hmm. just do that. Even if you just groom the horse and don't know how to ride, it's another therapeutic opportunity. So for this Central Park horse show to be here, it just represents many, many things, not just, you know, a group of people who can afford to go. It's for the masses, and that's what was so nice about it. My understanding is it's supposed to be a 7-year commitment, and I'm hoping that we can do it.
Oh, I was going to ask that next. Is have they set it up? They're deciding to do it next year, so 7 years?
That's what I read online. I'm hoping when Mr. Trump spoke, he said he was hoping to bring it back and to be a commitment. Even Georgina Bloomberg, when she was in the press conference with him, she was a big promoter of this, which, again, we're all grateful
thank
for.
Thank God she won. She continues to promote.
That was not fixed. That was a legitimate win, I'm telling you.
It was, you could tell.
It was so cute to see her son on the Jumbotron. When she won, she was so surprised. And her son's face was just so cute. And then in the press conference afterward, she said that she had come out of having the baby and other things were going on, and she hadn't competed much. And she just said that she just came out and did her best, and that was fun. And even when the Friday night was a challenge between New York and the world team, and she was the leader on the world team, on the New York team, and it was just fun to see her do that too. And also, Jessica Springsteen was there. Bruce Springsteen was there too.
I was going to say, are all these people, you know, with this kind of thing, since they're doing it in a new place and they're having fun, is it camaraderie? Are they all friendly with each other now, even though they're competitors? Was it like a whole kind of just a good feeling kind of thing?
I have to say that the arena was small enough that you could feel that it was all camaraderie. There wasn't competition. It was just fun. And
I read a lot of quotes from the riders. You know, this was the first time since 1876 that polo was played in New York City. 1876.
Yeah. Wow. So,
and a lot of the riders, the polo players, were quoted as saying, this was just amazing that they never, ever thought they'd get to play polo. I think for all the competitors, even Isabel Wirth made comments like that. She ended up winning the dressage. you know, out of Germany, you know, none of these people, she said, I know Isabel said that when she was when they were driving through the city to get there, she said, all of a sudden you're in this city, and it, she said, it's just nothing but buildings and concrete, and then all of a sudden you're at a showground. And, you know, that amazed her, and she's ridden all over the world. So I think that's what kind of made it so special and so cool. I have to ask you something personally, though. Well, two questions. One, where were the horses stabled? Did they have set up tents, or what did they do?
They had a big tent toward the back of the park. And what they did was they also put rubber down, because it's all concrete pathway, so the horses would go from a back area and come down this pathway into the arena. The first night it was very dark for them, so they would have leaders and they would have flashlights. That's something that I think they'll plan more in the future for. And then they would have areas cordoned off to make it quiet for the horses so they wouldn't spook. But we have a lot of space in Central Park that can be used so much better. You have the mounted police in the park, that also we have a stable there, but I don't think that was used much. But the mounted police did come, and they did a showing too, and that was fun to watch.
Very cool. Well, before we let you go, I have to ask you a question. I hate to get political here at the end, but
what?
You know what I'm going to talk about, the carriage, the whole carriage thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to get rid of the carriage. The mayor is jumping up and down. And then at the same time, kind of like a slap to the mayor, they bring all these horses in for this show. It kind of had to be a slap to the mayor a little bit that this happened at the time when he's threatening to get rid of what horses are left there.
You know, Glenn, I absolutely agree with you. There were colleagues of mine from the New York State Horse Council there, too, at the Central Park show. And the first night, a lot of the carriage horses were not around because the park drive was closed. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they were around. Again, born and raised in New York, I go on the carriage ride. My daughter goes to college at Fordham, right nearby. I have personally gone to the stables to see them. And I think that this is just wrong. These horses are well taken care of. They need a job. They have been around for a long time. They are regulated, just as many other things in New York are regulated. And de Blasio was nowhere to be seen when I was there. That doesn't mean I could have missed him. It was not talked about at the show much. The only person who mentioned it was Guy McLean on Saturday. After he finished his natural horsemanship, he said that we really should respect the horse carriage industry. We should be supportive of these people.
Aww.
And again, what would we do? There are 220 horses. What would we do with them? Many of them would be euthanized. So I honestly think there's got to be a way to do something. Maybe build new stables in Central Park. I don't know.
Well, you know what bothers me about the whole thing is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the people that are in charge what the horses are doing. They just want the land, you know, and that's what it comes down to. They don't care about the horses. We care about the horses. The people that are owning these horses.
You're so right, Jamie. Absolutely correct.
Well, you have been just awesome. I am so pleased with your report. You did great.
It's the first time.
I need to fly up there for the next one. You sold me on the Central Park Horse Show. What a cool event that sounded like.
Please come to New York. I will take you out to dinner. It's just so much fun to have the horses in Manhattan. I don't get to ride except when I go upstate to Horses and Hounds or the Riding Academy with the kids on Randall's Island. So we need something in Central Park. And, you know, I love listening to you guys because I just learn a lot. I tried to get a lot of my friends to listen, too. So thanks for doing this. And thanks for letting me come on.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on. You've been awesome. I mean, I'm thrilled. Very awesome.
I didn't know you were a doctor. It's Dr. Ellen.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, for
a very long
time. Born and raised in New York, went to school here, et cetera, and practiced here in the city. So horses are my outlet.
Amen.
Well, very
They're
cool.
all of our
Can
outlets.
I ask you, can I, am I allowed to ask what kind of doctor?
I'm in practice with my husband. We're cancer treatment here in Manhattan.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you for the work you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know that's hard work, too. So we'll let you get back to your patients, Ellen. Thank you so much. You've been great.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Bye for me.
Thanks,
care.
Ellen.
Bye,
I'm
Jamie.
Taking you up on that dinner. I'm taking you up on that dinner. Watch out. Here I come.
Yeah, you could find some really expensive ones in New York, for sure.
Everything's expensive.
Oh, she was great.
New York.
That's
she
terrific.
Did great. I'm inspired listening to her talk about how exciting it was. It sounds like such an awesome event, and I'm so glad we've had now two people that got to talk to us about it.
And you know what's so cool too is the passion she has for her city came out too.
Yeah.
Which is really neat.
Like that.
Yeah,
you know,
they are.
They really are. Really cool.
I mean, we're all kind of passionate about one way or another about the places we live, but I think that there's certain places if you grow up and you know, Jennifer and I move so much, you know, it's kind of hard. But when you've lived there your whole life and you've never moved and your whole life has been spent around that, no matter where you live, whether it's a little town in the middle of nowhere or New York City, that passion comes out. And I'm so glad we had her on to talk about that. If you want to come on and talk about a show you went to, whether you were riding or spectating, or, you know, whether it was a regional show or a national show, doesn't matter. We want to hear about it. Just drop us an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com or jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get you on the show to talk about it. We love hearing from our listeners and reports like that. Well, let's take a break for our song, and we have a little commercial here that we're going to do for the Horsewoman's Challenge coming up, and then I'm going to play a little Templeton Thompson because she's heading up to help out Frankie and the organization up there. So we're going to hear a little Love is a Rose from Templeton Thompson. We'll be back. We have Leslie coming on, and Leslie has news for us from Horse Nation.
Don't miss the first ever American Horsewoman's Challenge. 40 of the top female horse trainers in North America compete for $28,000 in cash and prizes. It's 3 days of intense competition, demonstrations by top clinicians Linda Pirelli, Julie Goodnight, Aton, and others. Plus the Extreme Cowboy Race with Craig Cameron. Tickets start at just $80 and are available through Ticketmaster. Don't miss the American Horsewoman's Challenge, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I wanna see what's never been seen. I wanna live that age-old dream. Come on, boy, let's go together. Let's take the best ride now. Take the best ride now. Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine.
I wanna go to an old hoedown long ago in a western town. Pick me up, my feet is dragging. Give me a lift and I'll hay your wagon.
Love is a rose, but you better not.
Hi, Fiona Crawford here, and I'm an official Horse Radio Network auditor. I'm a horse photographer based in the UK, and when I'm editing my images, I listen to a vast selection of great programs provided by the Horse Radio Network. Both informative and really entertaining, I think it's worth a few dollars or pounds of anyone's money. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner, and for as little as a dollar a month, you too can become an official Horse Radio Network auditor.
Thank you to Fiona. We appreciate that. And thank you to Templeton Thompson for Love is a Rose. You can find all Templeton Thompson's music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. I wanted to remind everybody that Wendy and I, in a couple of weeks, yeah, it really is a couple of weeks now, are going to be heading to the World Percheron Congress at the Big E. In Massachusetts. Anybody up there that's a horse person knows where that is, in West Springfield. And we encourage you to come on out. We're going to be there October the 7th. That's a Tuesday. We'll be there all day. We'll be doing Horses in the Morning live from there. And then we'll be doing the driving radio show live in the afternoon from there. First time we're ever doing the driving radio show live. And then we're going to be competing in the Celebrity Driving Challenge. Wendy and I will be competing in there. We're going up against, I know a couple of the other people that are going to be in it now. There's a couple of women, and we had them on the show, and I can't remember their name now, but they do a show about draft horses. I can't remember what it's called. Jennifer can help us out. But they do a show about draft horses on one of the TV networks, and they're going to be there. And I think they're going to kick our butt because they actually do drive. They know a lot more about draft horses than we do. But it should be a lot of fun. Come out. I know we've heard from some listeners who are coming out to watch, and we'll be there all day. Helena's coming up. She said she's going to take Gracie out of school and come up for the day. So we'll get to see. There'll be three hosts from the Horse Radio Network. Thank you, Jennifer. It's Gentle Giants on RFD TV. The two ladies who host Gentle Giants will be there. So I'm excited to meet them, too. So it will be a lot of fun. That evening they have Percheron barrel racing. They have six hitch classes where they hitch up six of them to wagons and do competitions. They have all kinds of different activities that evening, demonstrations. So spend the whole day with us. We would love to have you join us that day and meet everybody that lives in that area. We're looking forward to it. That's the World Percheron Congress.
So
just Google it. 800 to 1,000 Percherons are going to be there.
And how much longer till you go?
That is October the 7th, so in 2 weeks, actually. 2 weeks from today, on Monday, you'll be doing the jumping show with Emily, and then we'll be coming to everybody from the Big E in Massachusetts on the 7th,
you know,
for the Horses in the Morning.
That's like the equivalent of next weekend, me going to the Andalusian World Show in Vegas.
Yeah, for
like,
me it is, definitely.
That's your Andalusian World Show as Percherons, and mine are the Andalusians in Vegas. I'm not going next weekend. I wish I was. Next year, we've got to make it happen. Oh.
Well, I told you I figured it out, and if you figure out 800 Percherons at about 1,800 pounds each, it comes out to 1.4 million pounds of horses are going to be there.
How many pounds of poop is that a day? That's the real question.
That's about 3 million pounds of poop a day.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of big horses.
Yep, you're right. I used to have Percherons. I know how much poop they make, and that's why Jennifer won't let me have another one. So.
Mean old wife, yours.
I know. She is mean. She's mean to me. She's always mean that way.
So she made you go the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean,
now
total opposite. Yeah.
Next, it'll be minis. Next, I won't even be allowed to have a pony. It'll just be a mini. My little pony. You were just waiting for that,
pony.
Weren't you?
I was.
You were waiting for that.
I was looking for it.
What's that? I didn't get a chance to watch that video. Did you post a video this morning?
Oh, my God. Look at the video I posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You start. The way it starts is not the way you think it's going to end. It's so awesome. It is so awesome. So
all right.
It was shared on a non-horse friend's Facebook page, so I had to steal it. It's adorable. So look at the
right,
horses eating hay on the other horse. And, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, let's do this because I think it's time to talk to Leslie.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Good morning, Leslie Wiley. How the heck are you?
I'm super. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on a Monday morning, as you always do, from horsenation.com. And, well, let's just say that I went to log on to horsenation.com and was punched in the face. Talk to us. What happened?
Well, we've been so long overdue for a redesign, a site overhaul redesign. I think our original site, I'm pretty sure, like, our publisher, John, like, built it on his iPhone like in 5 minutes. So it was it's always been a little rough around the edges. So and we thought, you know, we're 2.5 years old now, and it is time to grow up and have a big kid site.
I'm going to jump in here quick, and I'm going to give some kudos, because when John built this, I was around when actually John and I discussed Eventing Nation before it ever started as a website. And then he said, well, I'm going to do this Horse Nation thing, but I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's just going to be this little site that I do on the side. And so that's why he didn't put a whole lot of effort into it, because it was supposed to be this little thing on the side. And then he hired this woman named Leslie. And this woman named Leslie decided that I'm not going to be no side website. I'm not going to be the little stepchild of Eventing Nation. And now I checked some Facebook numbers, Jamie. I don't know if you've looked at this, but when I looked at Facebook and I looked at Eventing Nation the other day, Eventing Nation had 38,588 followers the other day. Jamie, do you want to guess what the little ugly stepchild Horse Nation has? 80,600.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Kicking their ass there, Leslie.
Yay.
Well, and that's what's great about your website is it's not just catering to the eventers. It certainly has plenty for eventers on it, but it also talks, it's just every aspect of the horse world. And, you know, we have so many horse lovers out there, and it was a great idea. I believe it was your idea to do Horse Nation. And it was just such a great idea, because you're right, you don't exclude anybody except for maybe the people that like Big Lick Tennessee Walkers, but everybody should exclude them anyway. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, we are all part of the Horse Nation. So I think, yeah, well, so much of our content, you know, some of it's specialized, but some of it, you know, a majority of it, I'd say, you know, all horse people can appreciate. And, you know, even if we do have something, you know, I learn something new every day about disciplines that, you know, I don't actually, you know, I don't participate in myself, but I still think it's fun to read. You know, we're all horse people. We're all on the same page.
I like that. We're all part of the Horse Nation. That is so true. So tell everybody what we're going to look at when you log on to Horse Nation. What's going on?
What is going on besides the usual, like, random chaos for you listeners?
No, like just kind of like the design, and it's changed so much, and there's squares of the articles, and the number one question I had is, is the new stuff at the top, or is it just kind of interspaced through the whole, like, explain to me kind of what the thought process was, because all of our listeners check Horse Nation, everybody's going to want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. It works in the same sort of linear way. New posts just drop in from the top and shuffle, you know, older posts on down. So it is, you know, it is still, I like linear things, so that I don't want to go and, like, rifle through a website and be like, oh, what have I already read? What haven't I read? I like to be, you know, like, for the new stuff to be at the top. It's a little bit different. It's a different sort of format than most websites. It's called a grid format. kind of like, you know, like Windows 8E, or, you know, I think we're all so familiar with, you know, we love Pinterest and, you know, sort of a Tumblr, like that sort of format, rather than, I don't know, it's a little different. I like it. It just looks to, feels to me like an all-you-can-eat buffet of, you know, just fun horse content. That's kind of what we want to get across.
And there's a new thing that you have on horsenation.com, and it's where all of us can anonymously go to bitch about everything, and that is called the forum section.
One thing that I really was kind of a dream for me to be able to incorporate into the site was a forum. We call it Equestrians Anonymous. Obviously forums are incredibly, they're popular, you know, lots of people, I'd say, check the Chronicle of the Horse forums multiple times a day. There's other forums out there that people are really deeply involved with. I think that there's, you know, you know, it's just great for us to have that sort of community that we can reach out, ask questions. Forums scare me a little bit. You know, I feel like...
And they should.
I feel like they're sort of like there's people that have been there forever and they're very well respected. And then there's, you know, you just never... And then there's people that don't know what they're talking about but think that they do and want to tell everyone about it. And so I just thought, I was like, what we need is just a clean, fresh slate, you know, a place where... you know, people who maybe, you know, everyone feels comfortable and not judged and not, you know, like where there's not already a hierarchy that, you know, you'll never, I go into Chronicle of the Horse and I'm like, I will never be a cool kid here. Like, you know, I've popped in from time to time and I'm like, so,
you know what you want to be. you know, forums have a life cycle, and this happens. This has been since forums started back in the early 1990s. They have a life cycle. They start out all clean and happy places, and then the negative people show up, and then they sort of take over, and then the nice happy people leave, and then you're left with all the negative people. And you know, and I always said, and I'm going to get hate mail, but who cares? I'm going to get hate mail from the negative people. But what happens is the negative people, their friends get sick of hearing them bitch about everything, so they can't bitch to their friends anymore. The only place they have left is to go online, find a forum, and that's the place they can go. The only place they have left.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be very, I've tried to be very clear about setting the tone from the get-go of this. I think I have a little... note, what are our rules at the top of every thread, just to remind people, it says, remember that we're all here for the same reason, because nobody in our real lives wants to hear about our horse's latest abscess, blue ribbon, lead change issue, etc. So treat others as you would like to be treated. Be kind, helpful, curious, open, and supportive. Discussion is encouraged, but pooping all over other people's thoughts and opinions will not be tolerated. The moderator, that's me, does not enjoy cleaning up anyone's crap except for her own horses.
I love it. But I just want to point out, you're laying down a law. Nobody's going to come with that law.
There'll be three people in there all talking to each other.
Right.
All right, I have registered to be on the forums, and I am going to write something really snarky about Leslie Wiley. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, gosh.
No, this is awesome. Congratulations. This is great.
I tried to register, and apparently she has a blacklist already, because I just got an email that said, you're kidding, right? She wouldn't even let me register.
Yeah, and also... you have to register through your Facebook account. I think a lot of the problems that arise on forums are because people can just troll around anonymously. But, you know, if your name is actually attached to something, then you've got, I feel like it kind of obligates people to be a little more accountable for what they say.
I think that's really sweet that you think that, but haven't you seen people's Facebook comments on anything random? It's like, oh, that girl can't read. Oh, like,
That is true. People still don't care. But yeah, we're trying.
Yeah, you're doing great.
You know, I did make a comment. I don't know if you saw the comment I made when you posted about this. You posted about having this come out. And
I sure did.
See, I won't ever be allowed on the forum.
Congrats, Leslie. Looks so professional and clean. Now it doesn't match your personality at all.
That's our plan.
I speak the truth. That's all. I speak the truth. Fellow ADD girl like me. We're in the same club there, Leslie. I do have a technical question before we go on with the stories we're going to talk about. When you come to the website, there's a skinny column on the left, and there's a bigger column in the middle, and then there's some ads and videos and stuff on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Does the middle column have more priority, or is it just how it all lines up?
I think it's just kind of, well, you can choose, we're going to get geek out here for a minute. You can choose which size box you want to put a post in. So I just sort of put the, interesting ones with good art, ones with video in the big boxes. And then, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this thing out, how to puzzle piece it all together. But,
And I got to congratulate you because I know, when you go from having as much content as you did in your old site and then converting it to a new one, it is a nightmare to get everything to line up and show and bring all the old stuff over to the new. And it is not easy at all whatsoever. And I've done it before. So I congratulate you for that because it is not.
Oh, yeah. And this has been months in the works, months in the process. So, it's and definitely you guys got a big old ad on the homepage. Do you see that?
Thank you. I saw that. I appreciate that.
You know what else? We just got a big old ad on while you guys been talking. I started my very own forum, and it's in Community Exchange, and it's shameless self-promotion.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
Be sure to chime in on that topic.
I did. Here we go. There you go. We looked at Community Exchange. There's one post and one thread, and it's called Horses in the Morning.
Awesome.
You guys are going to have to put up with Miss Moderator.
Yeah.
People
I'm
like
gonna be your worst nightmare. I'm going to be your worst nightmare.
I love it.
All right, let's get to some stories.
All right.
What do you want to...
I think... So we had one... we had a story on Friday, I think. It's called 10 Things I Learned as a Tech Store Employee. And it's written by Lorraine Jackson, who has worked in a tech store, put in some time. And she says... she's had some interesting experiences and learning experiences working at a tax store. She had some words of wisdom. I hear that you and Jen owned a tax store. Did not
That's
know
right.
that.
We owned one for years and called the Horse Stuff Company. We had it for years. So all these things, when I looked through the list, we'll go through some of these things quickly. She says horse people are the best people, and that is true. We used to, one of the things when you own a small tack shop is you get to hear all the gossip from everything, because everybody comes in and they want to talk about everything that's going. So we knew everything that was going on at every barn in the area.
Man.
you know, because you hear they just for some reason they I don't know. It's like an in person forum there at the tack shop. You just tell the tack shop owner everything. So that was kind of something. And then you do learn. I knew more about bits back then. You have to learn. Your second one is that you know, basically as a tack shop person, you have to learn about all the tack, whether you use it or not, whether you're riding English or Western, it doesn't matter. You have to learn about all the stuff, and that is true. I mean, you really do. You really do have to learn about everything. And you know, I didn't know the function of all 300 bits that we had, but I knew some of them.
No, Glenn, you were the one who said, here, let me get my wife for you.
That's exactly what happened. If they weren't asking about a Snapple, it was wife territory. That's exactly right. you know, the one that cracked me up is number five. I was a helmet expert. I did the helmets. Jennifer just pointed that out. I was the helmet expert. But number five, you do and you don't get what you pay for. And I love this one. It says, I have seen $400 boots come back with broken zippers a week after they were bought, and I have had customers come and tell me they're replacing a cinch connector that's been doing the job since the 1970s. That is so true. And the boot thing, and this is true, we did have this happen once. You have people come in, you have the socks there that they can try, and you tell them, look, you have to get help when trying on tall boots. And they come in and they're all hot and sweaty, and they walk over to the tall boots and they're going to try on tall boots with their bare feet. And they do it, but they shove their bare feet in there. Well, guess what you can't do then is get the boot off. It's stuck in there. And we did have one instance where we had to cut the boot.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was also the one in charge. I don't remember what we did in that case, because I was also the one that was in charge of trying on boots on these women. And, of course, you know, they would come in and you'd say, let's measure your calf and everything. And you'd do the measurements and you'd do the sizes and everything. And they would say, no, I need a size smaller than that. And you knew damn well, this is before zippers, too. So you knew damn well you're going to put this boot on. It wasn't coming off.
Life before zippers.
Yes. There were no zippers. We had sold our tack business right at the end of when zippers started to come in. And what a godsend for the guy trying on boots for all these women. What a godsend.
Oh, man.
That was.
Yeah, definitely. Goodness.
But yeah,
cut
that's one of the
slits down the back of my boots at horse shows because I couldn't. I was like, oh, I guess I've gained a little weight since the last horse show.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad my dressage test is in 40 minutes away because I'm just going to have to cut a. Oh, my goodness.
There's one on here, Jamie will love. You're never too old for briars. That's number six.
Amen, sister.
Yeah,
I'm wearing my newest one right now.
One, what I wanted to mention, tack stores don't sell solutions, they sell tools. Most required returned equipment had nothing to do with breaking or defects. More often, people would return a tie-down, a martingale, a nasty bit, or some other training device and say it didn't solve the problem. Oh, I can't tell you how many times that happened.
Can you return stuff like that? Like, can you return stuff that you've clearly used? I'm not that guy.
We'd get all kinds of stuff back. Jennifer, do you remember the lady? Now we did a lot of we had one of the first online tack shops back then, even before the big guys did. And they would send blankets back, Jamie, that had been used for a year and were dirty and shredded, and say that they had bought a year earlier and say, well, this blanket didn't hold up. I mean, the thing was shredded and dirty, and you'd open the box and you'd about pass out.
Yeah. We had a very strict policy with horse blankets when they were returned because most of the time they came back in their original packaging that we were not allowed to process the return until the blanket had been taken out of its package, completely unfolded, and examined because they would fold them up and they'd clean off the part that would show through the bag. And then you'd pop the thing open and on the inside there would be covered with horse hair and it stank and it was just awful.
That's...
Yeah,
Jen, did you guys take them back, or did you say, hey, get walking?
It would depend on the situation.
Yeah, I was going to say it depended on who the person was.
Yeah.
If it was somebody we liked, we'd take them back.
So if it stank really, really bad and we couldn't stand to have it in the building, we sent it back.
Or if it was a customer you didn't want to come back ever again because they were kind of a pain in the ass, you would not take it back. You did anything you could to keep them out of the door. Okay, there's some little tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, next time you go to bring something back and they say no, now you'll know they don't want you shopping there anymore.
You know what I did? I've been feeling too guilty. Is I bought a fan last summer for the horses, and it really didn't work that great, and now it's really broken. And so I had to go get a new one, so I put the old one in the new box, and I was going to return it to Walmart. Is that bad? Because he saves boxes. Nobody saves boxes for fans. So I figured at some point I'm gonna get mad enough at Walmart and go return it. I just can't do it. Oh gosh. Well, Leslie, I think this website, you know, I mean, obviously it's shocking and a new thing, and I loved what you said is that people are gonna complain for a long time. Have you had lots of complaints?
I mean, we've had a few, of course, but.
Did you tell them to go write it on the forum?
Go write it on the forum. Yeah. But no, it's been pretty overwhelmingly positive, so that's good. We're still working out a few bugs, and we always appreciate, you know, if readers run into something, you know, that we haven't picked up on yet, some function that's not working, you know, we appreciate that sort of feedback for sure, but... people have been pretty, you know, pretty excited about it. So I think our old website, it was just so bad. it was so rough looking. People are,
you know what,
like, desperate for any sort of improvement.
You know what, Leslie? You'd probably be surprised. I think people kind of get used to it, and then they get comfortable with it. And I think that's why they always have a reaction when there's a new one. It doesn't matter how bad the old one is. They get you get comfortable with it. You know, it's like old shoe. You know, you're comfortable with it. And then you get your shoes and your feet hurt. So that's what you're going through right now. People's feet are hurt.
I think the only thing that was tough for me was trying to figure out what were articles and what were advertisements, which is probably done on purpose. But I've figured it out. I broke the code. All right, the code is... If there's a little, like, bar, a colored bar underneath it that says share, those are articles.
The
ads don't have the share option, so
yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, these are so easy to share articles on Facebook pages. It's really, really easy to do.
Yeah,
I'll get used to it.
Yeah,
I'll be okay. I'll figure it out. I'm not gonna give up on you.
That's funny. I know John had the same thing when he did Eventing Nation. He had the same thing. People reacted. So
I
think it's probably worse for his than it is for yours.
And the first version of Eventing Nation was, it looked like something an eighth grader had made, like on, like on their computer. It needed an update for a long time. And it definitely had, like, sort of its charm and nostalgia, but it was not sophisticated looking whatsoever. I think John would readily admit to that. But, I think there are people that prefer that old version, and they leave that, they left that option open for them. There's a way to view it, some option on the homepage. If you just want to, like, look at it in the old format,
it's called Classic Eventing Nation, and I click on it every time. That's how I read it. I fear change, Leslie. We fear change.
Well,
Leslie, I'm good.
Leslie said, "Screw you, people! I'm not offering any old version. You're taking the new."
You'll read it and you'll like it. Darn it!
That's right.
You're right. And I would like you to know that there is a new forum posted on Tack Room, and it's what you have, what you need, what you want. I might be looking for something, so I put something on the So just this show, I've started two forums.
Yeah.
No threads. Sorry, I'm using the wrong word. Two threads, no responses yet.
I'm going to go on and play.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, I think it might going to take a little time to gain some momentum, but.
Is this thing on?
All right, well, we'll encourage our listeners to head over there, sign up, horsenation.com, go to the forum section, go under Community Exchange, and Jamie started a Horses in the Morning thing. Go on there and say how wonderful Horses in the Morning is, and we'll get about 50 of those lined up, and then we'll dominate the forum.
Yeah.
Is it wrong that I have, there's a title of the forums called The Unstable Life, and it's called We May Be Weirdos, but at least we're not alone. I have too much to type. They just have to listen to the
Well, I think you're in good company then.
Good job, Leslie. Thank you so much for joining us as always, and we'll talk to you again next Monday. And good luck. I want to see lots of people going on to this new forum, Community Exchange, horsenation.com, and register, and then say how awesome Horses in the Morning is.
Yeah, I'm going to do that straight away.
And Leslie, I also want you to know, just as a brag, which I could go to the brag board and post this, but we got our 1,000th episode was last Wednesday, and we got 10,000 likes on Facebook on the same day.
How cool is that? Also, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's a lot of episodes. Like, did you do the math of how many hours of your life?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was
it was
too depressing. Yeah. We didn't. Yes, we did. We think we're the only. I'm pretty sure that we're the only horse radio show that's ever hit that milestone.
That's awesome.
I checked on some of the others I knew that had been around a while. Rick Lamb's been around for maybe 10 years, but he was only at episode 477. So, we're definitely the only ones that have ever gone that far.
He kicked his ass. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, all right, Leslie, thank you so much.
Sure thing. Thank you, guys.
All right, horsenation.com.
All right, Leslie, talk to you soon.
You know what she's doing right now, don't you? She's going to kick your ass out of the forum. That Jamie Jennings post and that Horses in the Morning one is going to be gone by the time. Give her another 5 minutes to figure out how to do it because she's trying to figure out the forum thing and how to delete people. But as soon as she figures that out, you're off.
You know what I'm using right now? I'm using air quotes in the air, and I'm saying she's moderating me.
Yeah, you're going to be moderated, right? All right, off. Right off the forum. Well, tomorrow, what's the show tomorrow, Jennifer? What do we got? It's the safety show. Lindsay will be here. Lindsay will be here with the safety show. I will not, actually. I'll be off tomorrow. And then Lindsay's got somebody co-hosting. It's going to be Jennifer and Lindsay and whoever. She got somebody to co-host. I don't remember who. And then Jamie and I will be back on Wednesday morning here. Of course, it is EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge Wednesday morning. We have a player all lined up, and we have a celebrity all lined up. And that's all coming up. Mary Miller Jordan, who we talked to last Wednesday, is coming back, and she's going to be playing celebrity trivia. She heard that celebrity trivia that we played last week with two of our first guests here, and she said, I can do that. So she's going to come on and play. So that should be a lot of fun on Wednesday morning. Well, Jamie, you have a good rest of the day. Get out there and ride.
You guys, thank you very much. Everybody, thanks for listening.
I hope baby Luke feels better. That's a terrible condition when you're a baby and when you're a parent.
It's pretty expensive, actually.
I heard him screaming a little bit in the background. I was thinking about Chad going, oh, man, get off that radio show soon.
End it. Hit the end button. Come take this child.
Get done.
Oh, boy.
All right, we'll see you, everybody.
Spay, neuter, gals, you guys. Horsenation.com. Forum. Should have ended the show with the theme song of the Monkees one.
Oh, I didn't think about it.
I'll sing it if you want me to.
No, that's okay.
Here we come.
Jennifer, hit the end button.
Down
now.
The street.
Hit the end button. I'll do it.